written for the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Washington Post, New Republic, Reader's Digest, and Playboy. He's written 10 books. He's also dropped a new article at Mises Institute. The Supreme Court uses twisted logic to promote U.S. agents committing torture. Jim Bovard, thank you so much for joining me. Jim, how are you?
Doing good, Sean. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Anytime. I love it. So now, I always grew up with World War II guys raising me. Want to be a good citizen, right? You want to believe you're the good guy. You really do. And then I remember exactly what happened with my other relative in Vietnam.
Oh.
And I remember him, who was a very, very successful warrior in Vietnam, killed more people in heart attacks in 67. However, he had to live with the fact that he bought into the lie that enriched American oligarchs. So it always made me a little bit suspicious. However, when George Bush came along, I said, boy, oh boy, you know, I'm all in. September 11th, let's go get him. Get him. And then I started to do a little research on that, and I said, well, let me put the air brakes on. If you are the good guy, do you commit all these kind of heinous crimes yourself? Do we occupy Syria? Do we bomb Somalia? Do we do all the things that not so good guys do, and now, you know, people are being called war criminals for?
Well, but it's different because the U.S. is a democracy.
Oh.
No, those are good points, and it's very frustrating to me to see the piety that's sweeping through Congress in Washington right now, acting as if the U.S. government has never doesn't have any atrocities on its record, and therefore the U.S. is entitled to do anything necessary to assure the triumph of good over evil. But it's like, you know, there's a lot of asterisks there.
You know, everybody knows the story in World War II of the Japanese torturing our boys. Everybody knows the story of exactly how it just destroyed people like, what's his name, Louis Zamperini, right? Italian, my neighborhood, big guy, right? Unbroken, he inspired the movie Unbroken. And it was outrageous what the Japanese did to our boys. We then had something called the Geneva Convention, right? I mean, didn't that happen all about the same time when they said, listen, this is unacceptable, prisoners of war and the rest of it. In fact, in Vietnam, we thought that maybe the Vietnamese would uphold that, but it turned out they didn't. And we still to this day have MIAs and the rest of it. That can't be something that we ever partake in, is it?
Well, it's something that the U.S. government is trying to cover up. During the George W. Bush's War on Terror, the U.S. government set up a worldwide network of illegal secret torture sites, and the CIA is still working to keep that covered up as much as possible, even though a lot of the information is leaked out. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court just joined the cover-up.
And explain that to me, please.
There was a case about 10 days ago. The Supreme Court ruled that there was a secret CIA torture site in Poland, and the Supreme Court said that thanks to the doctrine of state secrets, the CIA could pretend that that was still a secret site, even though the government of Poland has admitted it was there, even though the European Human Rights Commission has written about it. But there's this game that's called state secrets, which basically lets the U.S. government cover up its worst atrocities and crimes.
Why would Poland let us know it was there? Where was this supposedly?
There were a bunch of different sites. The one at issue in the Supreme Court case was in Poland. There was also sites in Thailand and quite a few other nations.
Boy, oh boy, this is timing, right? I mean, Poland, this is a big point right now, right? They're in NATO.
Poland's a big player, and hopefully Poland doesn't help drag us into another war. So,
and then if that wasn't aggravating enough, you know, you write aggravating stuff. Ever since you left Playboy, Jim, I've been very upset with you. The Contorted Presidential Records Act. This doesn't sound good. Can you tell me about this?
No, that's another bad one. No, this is something which in the early 70s, there was a big fight between President Nixon and the arrest and the courts as to who owned the presidential records. And Congress passed a law, and there were court decisions that very clearly said that the presidential records are the property of the American people.
I would think so, right? But we, you know, every time we think something's our property, if we get caught stepping on the grass wrong, you could end up in the hoosegow for like 18 months.
Yeah, there's all kinds of hammers which can be dropped in, on private citizens on this, but the it was supposed to be a clear law with a clear recognition that presidents are simply hired hands. It's
I like that. I'm in for that.
Yeah, I mean, the presidents would have the same right to their property as someone who was hired as a ghostwriter. Okay, ghostwriters get paid, and you don't have any claim to your to what you write. Assuming you get paid, that's another story. But what's happened with starting, it accelerated with President George W. Bush. Obama's kind of made some of it worse, and Trump was not good on this issue. Biden, you know, there was no reason to trust Biden to be transparent because he certainly never was with his Senate records. But you have all these presidents who have created these rules and restrictions and access to their papers, so they're basically keeping us blindfolded, even though, my attitude, the former presidents are getting $15, $20, $30 million for their memoirs. And so presidents promise to open the books to tell the people how wonderful they were. At the same time, the presidents exploit the rules to cover up their abuses, if not their atrocities, which they committed. And this Presidential Records Act helps former presidents hide their records from the American people.
Boy, this is depressing. Can you cheer me up at all? I mean, next thing you know, you're going to tell me that we just passed a 2,746-page omnibus bill and not one of these morons read.
Well, I'm afraid I can't cheer you up on that score. I was smacking around on Twitter today, smacking Congress around, and I said that, you know, that Congress is famous for passing 1,000-page bills without reading them, and unfortunately they're using the same standard for due diligence for, you know, blundering into another war. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you've been around a long time. You've been watching this. You're a political.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't forgive me. I looked at the picture. I mean, you know, you're aging beautifully, but you've been aging.
These are alert. The
reality is, you've witnessed a lot of this, and you've witnessed the quasi world wars. You've witnessed the interventions. You've witnessed, as you write about and articulate about, the CIA hotspots and the black belt and all the rest of it. What is your under over on this becoming something that is propagandized into a World War III, even though simultaneously in papers that are not in the U.S. and news outlets that are not in the U.S.?
Mr. Secretary, we talked to a lot of business leaders here, a lot of CEOs, and they are now...
These outlets are saying we just made great strides as far as Russia and Ukraine maybe talking about a peace agreement or a peace accord. Is that in our best interest right now after we pass all this money for Ukraine and Russia to sign an agreement and actually have a ceasefire? Or am I becoming too pessimistic? And maybe it's not in America's best interest for this to stop just yet. And we need it to exist for a few more weeks.
Well, I don't know if we need it, but it certainly helped boost Biden's approval ratings. And it's frustrating. I mean, some of the European leaders have been pushing hard for a ceasefire. I don't see Biden doing that at all. I see him just saying, hey, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. As far as my over-under, as far as World War III, I'd say the odds at this point are still quite a bit less than 50%. But it's, you know, wars have a way of getting out of control. And, you know, false flags, false this, whatever. There's so much vitriol right now. And to watch Congress's reaction to a foreign politician calling for them to jump into a war in his country is chilling, because it is possible to clearly condemn Putin and Russia for their crimes and their aggression, and to realize that the U.S. government should stay out of this war.
I think Putin has always been a KGB agent. I think Putin understands and is smart enough to realize that his real goal is to dethrone the American dollar and, in essence, tearing down the American empire. This is something he's been working on rather diligently. I don't find it to be a coincidence that they have an agreement to start trading oil between China and Russia, and that it was really being worked on between China and some of the European states to stop using the petrodollar. In all of your years of paying attention to politics, have we ever gone to war or had any kind of quasi-war or military action with any country that didn't first threaten to stop using our dollar?
That's a good question. I don't know if Serbia threatened to stop using the dollar, or maybe it was hoping to use a euro when the U.S. bombed Belgrade in 1999.
Yeah, we can't talk about that anymore because Joe Biden apologized for that. We have to move on. Let's not focus on that atrocity that was committed by NATO, right?
Indeed. At least 500 civilians killed by the NATO bombing that have all been swept under the rug. It's like the Serbs, you know, the Serbs were, you know, people did not recognize the Serbs as human beings as far as how that war was covered. And I was outraged at the time, kind of got in the habit of being outraged. But no, I mean, that's a good point about them trying to dethrone the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve has done all they could to help them. I mean, it's mortifying to see how the government has sabotaged our currency.
And as I saw the news today of the Dow Jones and the markets and every aspect of our economy rally on the news of what should have been the exact opposite in any kind of honest and market in any kind of honest economy. We should have collapsed today with the idea that we are standing on the precipice of war, so much so that we just had to pass an omnibus bill. And on top of that, we had to do more emergency spending. Yet here we are rallying, which brings me to the conclusion. It's in our best interest to have this conflict. It deviates. It provides a Trojan horse for political fraud and corruption all the way around. And it always has to a certain extent as you look back throughout history. And what I want to thank you for doing is that you always have been consistent. And you've always brought this out. So I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for coming on my show. And I want the people to know they can go to Mises. Is it MisesInstitute.org or just Mises.org?
Mises.org.
I have it saved and I don't look anymore because I'm old. Jim Bovard, you know I appreciate it when you come on. Please keep up the good work. I look forward to everything you write.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for your kind words.
Thank you. We'll be